morning. How are we doing this morning? Good. Well, for those of you that don't know, I always forget to introduce myself. I'm Cody Swearingen, and I am the volunteer youth leader for the church. So if you're looking to be involved in anything, I could use, in the youth, we could use some Sunday school teachers, some substitute Sunday school teachers. But if you're interested at all in being involved with the youth, please come see me. We will find a way for you to get plugged in. All right? If you guys would, take your Connect cards out of your bulletin. Go ahead and fill out your name and whether you're a first-time guest, second-time guest, regular attender, member, anything like that. Just helps us keep in touch with you guys. If you're a regular attender, go ahead and put your information down as well. And then at the end of service, we will turn these in the offering plates. So we are in the month of December, and there's a lot going on, so we want to highlight a few things. I want to make a couple reminders about what's going on this week and then what's upcoming for the rest of the month. No small groups tonight, but tomorrow night, the women's ministry is having a cookie exchange at Paula Beechler's house. There wasn't a time in your bulletin. I was going to say 6 p.m., but it is not 6 p.m. It is 7 p.m. But if you showed up at 6, just wait in Paula's driveway. I'm just kidding. That's not creepy. So 7 p.m. tomorrow night. It's always a good time, and a good time of fellowship for the ladies and everything. So that is on tomorrow night, Monday. Then there are maps out. See Miss Paula for maps and directions to her house. Okay? Now, Saturday, the children are going to be practicing for their children's program at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. If you have any questions about that, please see Pat or Carolyn Stevens. Then on Sunday is the children's Christmas special, so you guys are not going to want to miss that, and we do have small groups that night as well. If you take a look in your bulletin, it'll say upcoming special events. There's several things that are going on. So make sure that you take a look at that and you kind of keep you in the loop. So welcome today. And, oh, Miss Linda Lewis, where is she at? I believe you had something you wanted to announce, correct? No.
Just do it. Let's go ahead.
Yes.
I just wanted to let everybody know that the things that we collected for shoeboxes for soldiers, the bank was very, very appreciative. When I went in there, they only had a little box full of just a few things, so they were just thrilled, and they said to tell the congregation, thank you.
All right, again, welcome to church today. If you guys want to stand up and greet one another, say hello, that's what we'll do.
Oh. Father, we come to you in awe of the season this morning. We humble our hearts. We come on bended knee, whether physically or in our hearts and minds, to say, you are the great God of heaven. And we rejoice at all that you have done to reach down to your creation and to provide for them restoration of relationship like Adam and Eve had in the garden, to give us the opportunity to be personally involved with you and to know that you want to be personally involved with us. I don't think there's a parent here this morning, Lord, that doesn't understand wanting our children to succeed, wanting our children to have the best, wanting the best for our children, not wanting any harm or injury to come to our children. And Lord, we got that from you. You've lavished your love on us according to your scripture. You've loved us unconditionally. You sent your son. And Lord, we could have never gotten to the cross and the empty tomb without passing through the manger. And so, Lord, we celebrate the Advent, the coming of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, God in us, and God for us. You said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so, Father, this morning, we come first with thanksgiving in our heart. But, Lord, we also come weary from life, sometimes heavy laden with burdens and sorrows. But Lord, there are some here this morning who have experienced loss in this past week, loss of loved ones. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them in their grief. Lord, there are some here probably who have experienced a great victory, a great blessing, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. Lord, there are some who have anxiety and anticipation for what next week holds. We have some who've already successfully encountered surgery and are in the healing process, and we have some that are yet to have surgery, even this week. And so we pray your blessing upon them. We thank you that Lonnie says he believes he can see a little better. Lord, we pray that when the healing's done, he'll see a lot better. Lord, we thank you that Charla, even though she's in pain, sore right now, received a good report. The surgery was successful. Lord, we pray that you would bring a healing into her life. For John, who will undergo surgery tomorrow, comfort him. Wrap your arms around him. Give him strength and assurance and the peace of God that passes understanding. Lord, for the other challenges that are out there, sometimes it's just making it through the season, trying to find enough money to buy gifts and show our love to people. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be disciplined and be wise. Help us, Lord, to be able to share love with our families and friends. We're glad, Father, that you don't have to buy a present to let somebody know you love them. So, Lord, sometimes just our presence is the best present we can give. Sometimes communication, connection. Lord, we pray that whatever the future holds for us here in these next 3 weeks over the holiday season, that you give us the blessing of family and friends, of joy, celebration, of giving and receiving of gifts. All of the things that are a part of this time of year, may we, though, Lord, remember the reason for the season is you. And may we never forget the baby in the manger who became the man on the cross and our advocate at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Lord, we pray that you would just have your will and your way in our hearts and lives. Help us to make the most of this season. And Lord, may we all receive, if we haven't already, the greatest gift that's ever been given in Jesus Christ the Son as our personal Savior. For all this, we'll be eternally grateful and give you praise. For it's in the name of that Son, Jesus, we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. Going to ask Margaret and Sharon to come. We have a couple of things that we need to do here this morning. For these folks have just recently gone through our welcome class. So the first thing we're going to do here before they do some other things, the first thing we're going to do here is we're going to receive a couple of new members this morning. So, yeah, I think that's an affirmative vote. So if you ladies will face me for a moment, I know that's a chore. But if I can have your attention for a moment, I have some things to share with you and a couple of questions to ask you. The privileges and blessings that we have in community together in the Church of Jesus Christ are sacred and precious. There is in it such hallowed fellowship, care, and counsel as cannot otherwise be known apart from the family of God. There is the godly care of pastors with the teachings of the Word in the inspiration of corporate worship. And there is cooperation in service accomplishing that which cannot otherwise be done. Today we affirm again the doctrines and practices of the Church. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that human beings are born in sin and that they need the work of forgiveness through Christ and the new birth by the Holy Spirit. That subsequent to this, there is the deeper work of heart cleansing or entire sanctification through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that to each of these works of grace, the Holy Spirit gives witness. We believe that our Lord will return, the dead shall be raised, and that all shall come to final judgment with its rewards and punishment. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you believe that he saves you now? If so, answer, I do by faith. Desiring to unite with the Church of the Nazarene, do you commit to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself as expressed by the covenants of Christian character and conduct? Do you commit to the mission of God as expressed in the doctrine, fellowship, and work of the Church of the Nazarene? And will you support the teachings of the Church of the Nazarene and strive with God's help to grow in your understanding and practice of the same in a way that enhances the witness of the Church? Will you endeavor in every way to glorify God by a humble walk, godly conversation, and holy service, by devotedly giving of your resources, and by faithfully participating in the means of grace? Will you follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life, abstain from all evil, and seek earnestly to perfect holiness of heart and life in the fear of the Lord? If you're willing to do your best to do these things with the help of God, say, I will. All right. Then it is my privilege to welcome you into the Church of the Nazarene and the fellowship of this local congregation with its benefits and responsibilities. And they were already so excited they whooped and hollered. But now if you'll turn and face these, your peers, with those of you who think it's okay for me to go ahead and make this official, would you whoop and holler some more and welcome these ladies into our church? All right. So let me introduce to you this morning Sharon Snyder and Margaret Lewis. All right. And so, Margaret, behind you, there is a black microphone laying there on the edge. And on the bottom of it, there is this little switch. If you'll push that switch to on so the red light comes on. All right. Now, I'm not sure how you have chosen to what order to read in, but we want to light those two purple candles that have not been lit as of yet, and the lighter is right behind the log. And first, Sharon, would you just tell these folks a little bit about yourself, maybe what you've done as a career path? These ladies are retired now, but just to share a moment and let these folks know a little bit about you. And if you'll hold that microphone really close to your mouth like an ice cream cone, that helps the sound guy.
I'm a retired nurse, and I've worked in healthcare most of my life. I have many brothers and sisters, one that is still missing. And I appreciate everyone in this church and the welcome I've received here.
You can do that part right now.
I'd like to read this to you.
And hold the mic close to your mouth.
Real good speaker.
Yeah, you got to hold that mic close.
Okay. Mark. I would like to thank everyone for the warm welcome that you have extended to me. Your kindnesses have meant so much to me. I came here and I met strangers, and now I have found friends,
amen,
a church family, and God. I would also like to thank all of the musicians. Their music has touched my heart. I would also like to thank Pastor Gary. He is a great leader, dedicated shepherd. God is working through him. He is truly a godly man. Thank you.
Okay, if you want to give that back to Sharon there, and she can begin to read the poem as you light the candles.
As we celebrate Advent, at the candles we stand, to light one for hope and one for peace in the land. Isaiah recorded, Prince of Peace, he would be for 700 years they waited to see. Then came the night when the angels appeared to the shepherds on watch, causing them to tremble with fear. Glory to God, they praised, peace to men on earth. Now hurry and go to experience this birth.
As Jesus grew many times to this earth, peace he brought, calming fears in the hearts of the many who sought. Some of his last words on earth were, peace be with you. Ask him into your heart, and you can experience it too. This peace of God, when in you, calms anxieties and fears and will guard your heart and mind for the rest of your years.
Thank you, ladies.
I hope you don't mind, but I had a couple people ask me to do this song, so I know you heard it last year, but you're getting it again.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breeze. shall he break, for each man is our brother, and in his name all of evil shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy with grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, forever shall we praise thee.
Don't always get to see or hear all the things that I get to see and hear. And so sometimes it's significant for me to pass some things on to you. There are things that happen that I know some people just look at as like that's just one of the things they do at church. What you witnessed this morning and have witnessed on other occasions was a couple of people who really kind of epitomize what we're all about. For Margaret has testified to us already of her journey and how she had kind of stepped away from the church and came back to the church, and as a result of coming back into the church, got back to a point where she felt really excited about her relationship with God. And that's what we're here for. We're here to facilitate people being connected with Christ. That's our goal. We want them, what a great thing it is to have them connect themselves with the Church of the Nazarene. I'm thankful for that. And there are certain things that can't happen within the church without people being members, like holding offices and doing some of those kinds of things, voting in important church meetings. That doesn't happen without membership. So belonging is not only important from their perspective of having a place to belong, but belonging is important from our side looking at them because they have accepted responsibility and they have said we want to be a part and we accept. Now, the significance with Sharon
is Sharon has had a life of faith as well, but in a different structure. And Tara was this way. And others have come along the way where they have been a part of something that their family values and treasures very highly. And they believe that they have been led by God, and the Holy Spirit has given them direction to maybe step aside from that they had been taught and embraced from their own family, and come to a place where God has said, this is a new place that I want you to be, and I want you to embrace this school of thought, this theology, this doctrine, and this is how I want you to begin to live your life. And hopefully it expresses what they believe. What I hope happens is that they feel something in their own spirit that's beginning to make them a little bit unsettled before they ever make a decision to be part of us. And finding us was the solution to that unsettled feeling. We're not here to try to take anybody away from anywhere else. Understand that. At the same time, people teach things. And if people teach something that you can no longer embrace as biblical truth, then we hope, our hope and our prayer is that we can offer to everyone a place to belong that is teaching the Bible, that allows you to follow the Word of God in relationship. And so I just want you to know, and Sharon and I can appreciate your position, and we've had others in the past who have come along slowly because they're not only changing maybe a little bit of teaching or a place where they have belonged before, but for most people, this is really the issue. The big issue is not necessarily changing a school of thought of doctrine from one church to another church. That's not the big deal. The big deal is that in our hearts and minds, in order to step from where I used to be to where I am now, the devil tries to haunt me with this thought that what you're saying is the people who loved you and raised you, they're wrong. You're saying they're wrong. And what we're trying to say is we're on a journey. When we get into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're on a journey. And what we're looking for on that journey is to feel like that we are so connected to God that we are at peace with Him. And that our mind is not disturbed or unsettled. That we can ask questions and find answers rather than somebody telling us not to ask questions. And it's that peace that I want to focus on today. I don't know if you heard it in the poem or not. That's what the poem is about. It was about the peace of God. And so the point that all of us have to come to as adults is not to stop loving our families, but that we come into our own relationship with God. And we're no longer living our family's faith, but we're on the journey and pursuing our connection to and relationship with God as He reveals it to us in His Word. So, you know, there's nothing I like better than punching the devil in the face, and the devil's a liar. And so he always bothers people a lot. When you're making a major change like this, a lot of times it's like, oh man, does this make my family look bad? Forget about that. The bottom line is to pursue God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as God opens His Word to you, to walk in that Word. And to find a place where you can grow in that Word, where you can serve the kingdom, where you can have friendships and relationships that build you up and help you in the faith. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about a peace, and I take text from Luke chapter 2. Last week we talked about hope. And now we have the candles of hope and peace that are lit here for us today. Two verses, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Most of us grew up around the King James Version of the Bible. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. So I thought about the way this is worded in the NIV. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. And I ran across this piece of information. The Personnel Journal reported this incredible statistic. Since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace less than 8% of the time. 8% of the time of all history. In a study, the periodical discovered that of 3,530 years of recorded history, only 286 years saw peace. In excess of 8,000 peace treaties were made and broken. It's not a very good record, is it? For people who are always saying they want peace, we haven't done a very good job. Webster says peace is a state of calm, an end of hostilities. And when I read this scripture and I think about the Christmas story, and I think about God who had gone through all of Old Testament history and he was trying to speak to man, he was trying to relate to man, and then he went into 400 years of silence, and then in the New Testament we find the birth of Jesus, and now here are these angels who are saying, look, there's this baby in a manger, and you guys need to go see him. Because here's the deal. If you see him and if you accept him, then in him is peace to men on whom God's favor rests. Justin, do we have that bumper sticker? How many of you have seen this on somebody's car somewhere? I believe this is true. Peace on earth to men on whom God's favor rests. No God, no peace. If God's favor is not resting on you, you're not going to have peace. But if you know God and his favor rests on you, then no matter what the state of the world is, no matter what the turmoil is around you, no matter what the storm there is, then you have peace. So here's what I want us to think about as we think about peace this morning. And we have a place in this. I want us to think about the procreator of peace. I want us to think about the purveyor of peace. And I want us to think about the promoters of peace. First, let's talk about the procreator of peace, who is God. The word procreate means to beget or reproduce or bring forth like kind. And so when we think about peace, where does it come from? How do we get it? What's its source? Who's peace? So when we think about the procreator of peace, we think about God. Let me just read some things to you from the Word of God, and I just remind you that the Bible, while there's been a lot of great books written out of the Bible or about the Bible is the only book God wrote. So when you read the Bible, you're reading what God wrote about stuff he wanted you to know about. And so God talks about himself in here. And I want to read to you from Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 this morning. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in essence, you can break this down, and out of this you get, for the kingdom of God is a matter of peace. Well, the only way that the kingdom of God can be a matter of peace is if there's peace in the kingdom of God, and who's in charge of the place? And we've come to learn If you've been around me for these 34 years, we've come to learn that the kingdom of God is not just heaven. The kingdom of God is any place where God is in authority. Whatever God's in charge of is his kingdom. And so there is peace in the kingdom. The kingdom is a matter of peace because it's God. And if God is in charge of your life, peace on earth to men on whom God's favor rests. If people don't know God, they're not going to be at peace. Think about all the people that create chaos. Either those people don't know God, or they're professing to know God but not living according to God's word. Because if they lived according to God's word, they would live in peace. They would not be creating chaos. They would not be creating turmoil. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So if there's some discombobulation going on out there, God's not the author of it. Because God is a God of peace. A state of calm, the end of hostilities. That's God. And peace is part of God's gift to us. If you look over in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, him being Jesus, and through him, being Jesus, to reconcile to himself, God, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. For God was pleased to have all Jesus' fullness dwell have all of God's fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to God all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. So God provided for this earth the potential and possibility of peace through Jesus Christ. Every person on this earth can be at peace. No matter what anybody else does. Other people can impact peace around you. They don't necessarily have to impact your peace. Because if your faith and your trust is in God and your relationship is anchored in Christ and not in stuff and people and relationships other than your relationship with him, then you can be at peace no matter what else is going on with anybody else. Because God is peace. He is the procreator of peace. He has given peace as a gift. And the reason we know that is we then look at the purveyor of peace. Now, a purveyor is a supplier. So God is peace, and God wants us to have peace, and so he needed a distributor of peace. And so when we think about the Christmas story, we have to go back, you know, to the hope that we talked about last week and to those prophets who wrote those words. And it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. God sent Jesus to be peace on earth. No God, no peace. No God, no peace. He was prophesied to be the Prince of Peace. And then Jesus here, as the voice of God and God in the flesh, He began to teach and he began to speak and he began to live out his life. And just listen here in John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus says this, speaking to the people he was teaching. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. So that in me. Peace on earth to men on whom God's favor rests. Jesus is God's favor. Jesus is the blessing God sent. And you will never, ever have true peace without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. Because without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to look for things of this earth to sustain you, and they can't do it. Money will not sustain you. Money can buy you about anything you need if you have lots of it, but it won't make you happy. And it won't give you peace. People with great amounts of wealth are usually bothered by people who don't. No peace. So having money doesn't make peace. And you can have a lot of people around you and create a lot of chaos. I mean, we would have never heard the phrase drama queen if they weren't out there. Maybe a drama king. I don't think it's just a gender item. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He said, in me you may have peace. And then in John chapter 20, he says it a couple of times. Verse 18 here of chapter 20, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that she had said these things to her and said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jesus Christ was the purveyor of peace. He was supplier of peace. God sent him here to be the Prince of Peace. And what did he say to his disciples? Peace be with you. Now, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, Apostle Paul wrote this, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. God is peace. The kingdom of heaven is a matter of peace because God rules there. And if God rules in our heart or mind through his Son Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, come to earth, then we should have peace in our lives. Now, that's great. That's great. Aren't you glad? For those of you who have, aren't you glad that you met Jesus Christ and that he brought into your life peace? He does things that nobody else can do. I just let me give you a quick example over in one of the stories out of the New Testament in Mark chapter 4. You don't have this, Justin. Mark chapter 4, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. Peace gone. a furious squall. How many of you are boaters? How many of you are at peace on a boat in the middle of the lake if there's a furious squall? So a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern jumping, "Oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" See, you don't get to read ahead of me now. No, the scripture says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. There's a squall going on. There are waves crashing over the boat. How many of you have ever been on a boat with a squall going on? And the boat kind of goes up and down, and the water splashes, and all the stuff's going on. And Jesus is asleep on a cushion. Why? Because he's at peace. Now, the rest of the folks who are new at this thing of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, they were not at peace. And as a result, chaos was breaking out on the boat. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up. Now, I know our imaginations can really get away with us. But I'm thinking about Jesus in a peaceful sleep. And I want you to think of a time when you were in a peaceful sleep and somebody came and wakened you. Maybe it was a child, maybe it was a phone, you know, and the person on the other end of the line is frantic. Or the child is frantic. And so you immediately, being awakened from your peaceful sleep, you immediately jumped up and said, "Now, honey, what can I do for you? Just be calm. It's okay." No, you got up and you went, "Oh, brother, what do you need?" And they told you whatever it was, and so you tried to respond to it. So Jesus gets up and looks around and goes, "What's up with you guys? It's a little bit of water. You had your bath this week? Come on, now it's asleep. I've been teaching a lot. I'm mentally, physically exhausted. I was cutting Z's. What are y'all waking me up for? Just some water. Tell it to be." "Peace, be still." Now, was that so hard? Peace on earth to men on whom God's favor rests. Jesus took over. Jesus was not in charge while they were trying to let him sleep. So they woke him up and he took charge. And he brought peace to what was otherwise a terrible disaster about to happen. Because Jesus is a purveyor of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me." Okay, boys, remember when? Remember the time on the boat. "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." You're now going, "I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go back to heaven. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You're going to be fine. Holy Spirit's a cool guy. You'll like him. And he can give you everything that I have and more. It's going to be great. As the Father sent me." Remember when I came? Remember the story about that baby? That's me. "As the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. I'm going to leave. See, this world, it's in a mess. But you are the promoters of peace. Because the promoters of peace are men. Human beings. We are to be the representation of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, sent by the source of peace, God the Father. We are now to be representative. We are to be the reflection of peace on earth. How many of you have been reflecting really well? How many of you reflect really well when that guy cuts you off in traffic? How many of you reflect really well when those red lights come on behind you? Isn't it funny, even if you're not doing anything wrong, red lights come on behind you, you immediately go, you're looking, and the guy goes around you and you're going, whew. A little bit of not peace there for a while. Only because you knew you had it in you to speed. We're to be representatives. We've been sent by God to carry on the message of God. Listen to this in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. When somebody ticks you off, do you do every effort you can to be at peace? That's why we have altars. Seeking God. Seeking peace. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that you will overflow with peace as well. If you have been filled with all joy and peace, there's not room for that other stuff. You can't be filled with joy and peace and have anger and bitterness, because that means you weren't filled. There was some room in there for some other stuff. So you didn't get filled. You need to get filled. We literally need to pray to Jesus to fill us with the Holy Spirit and to fill us with peace and joy. I was at a basketball game yesterday. I don't know that the people that I spoke to even knew who I was. Probably a good thing. Because my grandson was playing in that basketball game. And my grandson has been blessed with size. But at 10 years of age, he hasn't quite gotten control of all that size yet. And so when he's trying to do the best he can, sometimes it's a little gangly. You know, just life. That's just life. And the next thing I knew, some lady over here is going, "Hey, what are you doing to my kid? You did that on purpose." Lord, help me, Jesus. I turned to her. She was two people down. Her dad or somebody was sitting, an older gentleman was sitting beside me. And I turned to her because I was feeling a little not peace. And I turned to her and I said, "Are you sure he did that on purpose?" She said, "Yes, I could tell." And I didn't say anything else. I wanted to. I really wanted to, but I was pretty sure that Jesus would not be proud of me. And so this guy next to me, who is the grandfather of the kid, he doesn't know that I'm the grandfather of Remy. Because I was trying to be really general. Oh, these kids are out here doing their best. They're playing hard. You know, there's stuff happens. and the quarter ended and the fourth quarter started, and he goes, "Oh joy, we're off to another quarter of wonderful basketball." And I said, "Dude," I said, "I coached kids like this for 17 years and I ref them for 12 years. And I said, these kids are out here just doing their best. They're just trying to play. And if somebody gets hurt, accidents happen. And granted, sometimes these kids who are immature lose their temper and they do things and they have to apologize. But they're kids. Cut them some slack." Then we had a conversation about the officials not doing a very good job of keeping them under control. Because it turned out he had officiated as well. And so now we had two officials talking to each other. So we were buddies. He didn't know till the whole game was over and Remy came up to me later that that was my grandson. But believe me, when I let that go, "Hey, you think he did that on purpose? Are you sure he did that on purpose?" That's what I said. "Are you sure he did that on purpose? Because I don't think that woman can know the motives of those kids." And that was my sanctified way of telling her I thought she was out of line. But I was still getting my 2 cents worth in, and God kind of checked me about that. And I'm telling you, it ended up fairly peaceful, but it could have been real unpeaceful. We're not Jesus. And we're not God, and we're all still working at this. But sometimes we got to work harder. Sometimes we got to surrender more. Because we're the promoters of peace on earth. Because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is invisible unless they see Him through us. And I can just tell you right now, my son was on the bench coaching that game, and he did a whole lot better job than I would have done 20 years ago in the same position. I'm not proud of that. I'm proud of him. I'm not proud of what I would have done. Folks, we're the Jesus they see. And there's not anything too hard for God. And He wants peace on earth. And people who are related to Him should live in peace with other people. We can go on. There's another passage in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. We know this in all time because there's a lot of holiness messages preached out of this one. On the second half of the verse. We tend to get right on past the first part of the verse. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. We like that part, without holiness no man shall see the Lord, because we can kind of categorize that as a theological, doctrinal statement. Oh, we're a holiness church. Let's talk about holiness. Now you need to live with holiness. Whoa, live at peace with all men? Come on now. That's what he said. Jesus said if you're really pursuing holiness, you're not going to react like the rest of the world. Because God's favor rests on you, and that gives you the power to be different. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says this. Excuse me, verse 11, chapter 13, verse 11. "Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection." You're those people who can claim you can be perfect, right? Well, at least you're supposed to be aiming for it. "Finally, my brothers, aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace." Live in peace. Make every effort. Twice he said that in the scripture. Make every effort. That means you, as a human being, in your frailty, by his grace, make every effort to live at peace. That means bite your tongue. You don't have to say everything you think. I'm preaching to me. Because I talk easily.
I talk more easily than I listen. Which is why I have to read that passage of Scripture in James. It says, be slow to speak. Be quick to listen. Because otherwise, I'm not going to promote peace. The deal is, with God's help, we can be at peace with God and others and ourselves. Duke University did a study on peace of mind. Factors found to contribute greatly to emotional and mental stability are, number one, the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge is a major factor in unhappiness and a lack of peace. Besides that, it's sin. So you need to turn loose those grudges. Not living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures leads to depression. The devil's a liar. When Jesus forgave you, your past went away. So just stop thinking about it. Number three, not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. So, you know, that was a good place to find a copy of the Serenity Prayer and read it. Four, force yourself to stay involved with the living world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional stress. Face your fears. Overcome. Number five, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. My wife would get really mad at me for what I'm about to say just because of the grammar, but life ain't fair. And it isn't either. Number six, cultivate the old-fashioned virtues, love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. Number seven, do not expect too much of yourself. How many of you have been at the end of unrealistic expectations from other people? Now, if you think that's an awful thing for other people to create unrealistic expectations for you, then get off your own back. Because if you're creating unrealistic expectations for you, you're not helping yourself any. Listen to God. He knows what you're capable of. Do not expect too much of yourself, because when there's too wide a gap between self-expectation and your ability to meet the goals you've set, feelings of inadequacy are inevitable. Find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test for measuring happiness. That's just practical common sense stuff. You can get all of that if you go back to that part about letting God fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because if you understand the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, it's all there. It's all there. If you live under direction of the Holy Spirit of God, it's all there. Everything you need to be a promoter of peace. So let me wrap it up here. A verse of Scripture. So, Amanda, you guys can come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 16. You don't have this either, Justin. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Did you hear that? Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. When? At all times, where? And in every way. That's inclusive. Quit making excuses. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding fill your heart and mind and guard it in Christ Jesus. I'm so glad that there's Emmanuel, God with us. The procreator of peace gave to us the purveyor of peace, so that with him in our hearts we could be the promoters of peace. Let him come. Let him come into your heart. And let's make the world a different place. If you need a place to pray this morning as they sing, feel free to come. Ask the Prince of Peace to rule in your heart and life today. We'll be glad to pray with you. ask Pastor Don to come and prepare to receive the offering in just a moment. You have your Connect cards. Hopefully you've filled them out. And if there's something you need to check on the back, we encourage you to do that as you drop them in there. Opportunities to get more information about becoming a follower of Jesus or baptism, church membership, opportunities to serve small groups, a place to leave a prayer request. Remember this, Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Seek the peace of God. Allow Christ to rule your thoughts and your feelings and contribute to the peace of others by being peaceful. He is the Prince of Peace. We celebrate Him. He lives in our hearts. Let's show Him to the world.
I'd like to invite our ushers to come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Also, I want your Connect cards. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings today on this offering. We thank you for the peace that can come only in Jesus. Father, as we leave your house today, may we go in the peace of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, living in us. In your name we pray. Amen.
I was gifted yesterday with some loaves of bread. I don't know exactly, I didn't count how many there are. There's a few, and they may have already been taken, but they're on the counter in the fellowship hall. If you'd like a loaf of bread, as long as they're there, you can take them until they're gone. And so appreciate the gift that was given to us yesterday to share with you. Thank you for your giving today. Just remember, as we go, let's go as promoters of peace. God bless you. You're dismissed.